Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless. So, out of all the huts in the whole village, mine was the only one in this short period of time to have one morning, by the grace of God, it bit me in the face, what they call a cascabel. It's a pit viper, the most poisonous snake in the entire region of our area. It was a big one. I mean, if it had bit me, it'd have been a, I don't know, but I'm telling you, God's grace was very evident to help me that day, protect me. Within a short period of time later, a coral snake, Brazilian coral snake, was in my house. All kinds of crazy stuff. At one point, when the one witch doctor had traveled down downstream, and this guy's my friend. I mean, like, he's rejected God, but in a sense, after that, you know, we was never real tight like it was before. I still work with him. You know, we carried lumber together. We labored together. I mean, this guy, we went hunting together. I got up one morning and killed an animal off his house. We was out together trying to kill this thing. It was so funny anyway. But, I mean, we're just, you know, that kind of a friendship. And then when he had gone down river to just leave and get away all together, the ladies was in the village cleaning up some stuff. And when they had come back around, they had this leaf that was kind of folded up. And, you know, she had opened it up and said, "Preacher, look at this." And I was like, well, I didn't know what it was. It appeared that it was somebody had taken, you know, a root or a vine and taken a knife and just kind of shaved it. And it was just shavings, you know, stuck it down in that leaf. And as I was saying that, Connie was coming up. Connie, and he saw it, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "that's what I've been trying to tell you." He said, "There's people," he said, they don't like you." And said, especially these Bajays, they're trying to get rid of you. He said, "That's poison." He said, "They're putting that in your food." And I said, No, they ain't. They you know, they like me." He said, "All right." He said, "Well, who brings you your mingau in the mornings, your banana juice?" And I said, "Well, you know, come to think of it," I said, "the witch doctor brings it to me." And he said, I'm just telling you that is poison, and they're putting that in your food. And then that really kind of got me, you know, to think, you know, it really hadn't dawned on me, you know, during all of it. Matter of fact, I really didn't come to a full awareness of it until after I got back to the States. I was sitting at our church, my home church there, and we had a guest preacher that morning. He was preaching on David and Goliath, and he said, you know, David killed Goliath, cut his head off, and didn't have a pocket knife. And he used Goliath's own sword. And through that, the Lord helped me to see that it was a possibility that God was allowing me to be in this environment, preaching the gospel, with these men trying all that they can, calling on their spirits, putting stuff in my food, putting things in my house, all this stuff, calling upon all their demonic spirits for God only to show them that they have no power over himself, over God, and his protection. And so hopefully, and I believe that God isn't finished with those men. That's my prayer, that God will continue to work on them. I have great confidence in the gospel, that the word of God will go out. It will not return void. I have confidence in Jesus, that he's able to go after a lost sheep. He's never come back empty-handed. And I have confidence that I've taken the word of God under the best of my ability and sown good seed. It may take somebody else to come by and throw some water on it. It might take a few years for that to happen. But I believe in the end, when it's all said and done, I know this with great confidence, God will get the increase and he'll receive all the glory into himself. And so what a blessing that is. We was able to fly into some new area zone this year, preached over into an area called El Nape. And it was we're okay. We're doing good, ain't we? This one particular area over in a place called El Nape, Brazil, the place where we are, and there in the rainforest, it's remote. There aren't anything like of the modern life. There is no facility. There's no bathroom. It's just a hut, and there's a creek, and there's water. And, the restroom is go find a spot in the woods. Food is, stuff you've caught in a net, or something you've caught in a trap, or something you've killed, out in the woods. And so that's the picture. That's the atmosphere that you're in. When I'm living in town or near the village near town, basically the everything is the same as far as the village layout, the people. What is different is that you have access to the town. Whereas if you're way upriver, say in Boa Vista or some of those other villages, to go to town, it's a 6 to 7 day trek or by canoe. Whereas if you're in the village where I was living, it's about a 30 minute or so ride on a dirt bike to town. So I could buy chicken and I had a guy I would trade with when I'd buy chicken from him and things like that. And that's the difference. But nonetheless, there's still, in this other area where we had flown to over in El Mapé, it was the most, I'm talking mosquito-ridden place I've been in my life. And mosquitoes are bad. I mean, they're bad. You're constantly swatting. It's just a little rhythm. I mean, you're going to just, after a while, you're just going to kind of start swat because they're everywhere. But in this place, this is my ninth year there, and this place by far tops everywhere I've ever been. I've been in places where, you just rake them off, but this place was just, unrelenting mosquitoes. Most of the time they would come out between, in other places, between the times of, 4:45, 5 o'clock till about 7:45. That's your main window. You're going to get bit. And then after that, at night, it would kind of simmer down. But in this place, near El Nape, it was 24/7. You're getting bit. Mosquitoes. And I'm talking like this all the time. Just raking them off. They're everywhere. Mosquitoes, biting flies, biting gnats, biting everything. And everything was just biting. It was unbelievable. Just the atmosphere. Then a cold front blew in while we was up there. Temperature normally stayed between 90s, upper 90s, with a 90% humidity. The heat index feels like it's easily 102. That's normally all the time in other areas. This area, during that cold front, it was so cold, y'all. It was so cold at night. I had on everything that I brought with me. I had on every shirt, every pair of pants. I had on jacket. It was so freezing. I pulled Connie. I took him with me. He traveled with me. I said, Connie, are you cold? He was like, Richard, yeah, I'm freezing over here. He had on his wearing everything too. And I said, man, let's build a fire. So that was our time there. It was just unbelievable with just bugs and just things. It was a tough place. I thought I was used to it, but I'm telling you what, it was just, the relief of getting the canoe and trying to get some speed going to get the, because they can't catch up to you. And it was unreal, y'all, I'm telling you. But anyway, during that time, it was these people that their name is called Karamari. And I had heard about them and that they had a small group of believers I was wanting to find and encourage and learn and glean, because this area was outside the area where I'm at, so I was hoping I could maybe glean from them, possibly maybe use one of their young men and bring them to our area, because the same people group, same language, same dialect. He needs the gospel. And if these guys got it, I thought, well, instead of reinventing the wheel, I just help the one that's already been invented, bring it over here, and so that was the thought process behind it. We had gone over there on a Sunday morning. We met for worship
About 12 of us come out.
About 14 of us come out, and we sat in a house on the floor, sung songs to the Lord, worshiped the Lord. The best I mean, it was just, you know what I'm saying, just worshiped God and was very thankful for it. The pastor preached. He looks at me and says, "Do you have anything you want, out in your heart you want to say?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." And I spoke for about literally, it was 15 minutes or less on the Good Samaritan. And honestly, y'all, I felt it was so weak. I stumbled through it. It was just tough, very difficult. Nonetheless, we said prayer and then later on, we'd come back to the village where Connie was saved at, was continuing some work there, doing some other things in town. And long story short, I was leaving and preparing to leave. I got direction from the Lord to come back to the States. And I was preparing to leave in September. Around the first or second week of September, I was in town. And I was at the church there in town. And my phone rang. And I said, "Hello." And the young man on the other side said, "Hey, this is Zeto." And I was like, "Zeto, I said, are you Marubu?" He said, no, "I'm Kanamari. You remember you come to our village over in Antelope?" I said, "Oh yeah, hey man, you know we're all the bucks." And I said, "Yeah, I remember you. I ain't gonna forget it. I mean, how you been?" He's like, "I'm doing great." And he said, "Preacher," I said, "I've just got to tell you." He said, "We just got to town here ourselves, and he said, I've been wanting to tell you this." He said, "I've just got to tell you this." I said, "Well, man, go let her rip. You know, go ahead." And he said something that you said. Something God spoke to me through the preaching on that Sunday morning. And he said, "I want to let you know," he said, "I've been talking to Jesus ever since you left, and it's great." He said, and I talked to him every single day. And I said, "You know, Zeto," I said, "Yeah, man, what a blessing." And we talked for a while longer. I hung up, had a word. I prayed with him. We hung up. I prayed for him. Again, and I said, "Lord, you know, I don't know if this man got saved or not. I don't know." I said, "But his excitement toward you was encouraging." What was amazing to me was to think that God somehow had taken a very difficult situation, a very tough, a very hard, and a very weak message that I didn't think anything would come of it, and affected this young man to such a degree, to such a level, to such a point, amen, that he said, "You know what? I've been talking to Jesus every single day." And he was just so pumped about scriptures. And whether he was encouraged, you know, God had touched him somehow. And that helped me. So nonetheless, the work continues. Just trying to be obedient to the Lord, trying to follow the Spirit of God back in the States.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His words have